This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. Let's say you're standing on a busy street corner. Cars are rushing past and crowds of people are walking by. You're bombarded with information and your brain is actually processing what you're hearing faster than what you're seeing. Sound is so critical that neuroscientists are beginning to look at it as a way to better understand and perhaps even diagnose brain trauma, like concussions. Here's Max Green with more.
During Addison Zern's first couple weeks of high school, she says she felt like her brain was turning against her.
The first time I went back to the lunchroom, someone had screamed behind me and I immediately got a headache and I'm like, I have to leave.
Addison is 14, has long brown hair, and wears thick-framed glasses. And sound wasn't the only problem. Even low light felt too bright, and she had to wear sunglasses indoors. This hypersensitivity all started after Addison hit her head while swimming in gym class. But her first thought wasn't, I better get this checked out. It was more like, does this mean I won't be able to swim?
I didn't want to tell my mother in the beginning. I was like really nervous.
Addison's been swimming since she was 3. She says you could basically call her a fish. But she didn't know anything was really wrong until she got out of the water and did what any other teenager would do. Checked her text messages.
I noticed that my eyes were darting off different places when I was trying to look at my phone.
When Addison swam full speed into the side of the pool and smacked her head, she suffered a concussion. And that blow changed the way her brain processed the world around her.
And we are interested in trying to understand the biological basis for this.
That's Dr. Nina Kraus, a biologist and neuroscientist at Northwestern University, just outside of Chicago. Kraus studies how the brain understands sound and how that understanding changes based on life experience or disease or injury. Of all the things we ask our nervous systems to do, like retrieve information from our skin, our eyes, and our noses, Kraus says making sense of sound is one of the most complex tasks. And to tackle this big job, the brain draws on a lifetime of sound experience to create a kind of map or guide for how we process what we hear.
What we like to do is use a mixing board analogy.
You know, like a DJ or audio engineer uses when they're mixing a song. Imagine your brain is the audio engineer, mixing the sound as it comes in, moving the sliders up and down to make certain parts fade into the background and other parts more audible and clear. The brain might have one slider represent timing, how fast or slow a sound comes in. Another might be for pitch, how high or low we interpret that sound. One might be for timbre, how robust or thin a sound is. But a blow to the head can jostle those sliders, send them out of whack, cause confusion, disorientation, and general disorder. Scientists like Kraus can measure these settings and how they change really precisely.
As I'm talking to you now, the neurons in your brain that respond to sound are producing electricity.
So when researchers in Kraus's lab study the brain, they give participants earbuds and play them a sound like this.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it.
That's a clip from the 1976 movie Network.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Right away, the sound processing machinery in the brain starts to produce electricity, which is detected by electrodes stuck on the head. The electrodes then feed that response into a computer, where it shows up looking a lot like a sound wave, a solid, wavy line with peaks and valleys smushed in close together. The idea is to use these representations of how the brain hears sound as a kind of biomarker, a consistent, measurable baseline or range that could be used to diagnose trauma in the brain. So after a blow to the head, like one that might give you a concussion, that same clip could sound something like,
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not...
In a study from December, Kraus's team measured these kinds of changes. They were able to correctly diagnose concussions in 90% of pediatric patients, including 14-year-old swimmer Addison. With just 40 participants, the study out of Kraus's lab is small. But establishing these changes as a possible biomarker may prove to be an important step toward developing a reliable, objective diagnostic tool for concussions.
There isn't really a gold standard, I guess you could say, for diagnosing a concussion.
That's Kristen Doms O'Connor, a neurologist at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York and co-director of the Brain Injury Research Center. She says concussions are most often diagnosed through subjective assessments, Physicians use their best judgment to look for symptoms like headache, amnesia, confusion, dizziness, imbalance, or blurred vision. And they might monitor someone who hit their head for a few days afterward for things like vomiting or seizure activity. Certain tests can pinpoint slight disruptions in the brain that could indicate a concussion, but Dahms O'Connor says the most cutting-edge solutions for objectively diagnosing them aren't accessible for most people.
There's a lot of research looking into biomarkers, objective biomarkers. Many of those options are very expensive. They're invasive.
Dahms O'Connor says the Northwestern study findings are preliminary but exciting, and they could lead to an inexpensive, non-invasive test. Krauss, the Northwestern researcher studying sound processing, says being able to access this information could lead to a new world of understanding the nature of the brain. She gave me one more example to help illustrate what she means. Take a listen to this clip of a Mozart composition. First, you'll hear the music like we normally hear it. Then it changes. The second section is a recording of someone's brain finishing the tune. As the music passes through the ears, the brain hears and mimics the sound, but with electrical impulses. Again, that second part was the brain using electricity to produce its own version of the music, and researchers can record and capture that. For The Pulse, I'm Max Green.